It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
Wouldn't it be awesome if there was like an investment vehicle that gave you more than the upside of like just the index, like an index, like the S&P 500 or other indexes? Like it gave you the upside, but not really any much more risk, or maybe like less risk than the market. It'd be awesome to have something like that.
I'm intrigued, Ed. Enlighten me.
It's like you don't know what I'm going to talk about.
We love these. These are called growth notes. And so the prior episode we recorded for you was around income notes. Today we want to talk about the other type of main type of structure note called a growth note.
Right. So they're issued in the same way as the income notes. They're issued by banks. So when you own them, they look like a bond in your account. Now they act like a stock index. So they fluctuate. So if we use one, so the example we're going to talk about is the S&P 500. We can do this on various stock indexes, but the one we're going to use is an example. So banks issue these. They use the S&P 500, and then they set terms for these. You can buy them for 1 year out up to about 5 years out. We've actually had some where you can buy them longer, but the most typical ones are you purchase them, and then the bank will then set it to go out for, let's say, 5 years. And it has some version of the return of the stock market. Hopefully it's a multiplier, meaning you get at least the stock market return. And then you will get at the end, whatever the stock market does, and maybe it's a multiplier or a similar return, but with more downside or with downside protection. So maturity date tied to an index and has some kind of principal protection. 30 or 40% principal protection, meaning if the S&P 500 in 5 years, and you get one that goes out 5 years, if the S&P 500 is down during that period of time, then you your money is protected as long as it's not down more than, in, let's say in this example, it's 30 or 40%. As long as it's not down more, it's down 10 or 20, you get your principal back. So it's nice. It gives you that element of protection.
Yes, yes. And so let's talk about how they work. So what a bank does is it purchases a zero coupon bond. What is a zero coupon bond? It is exactly that. It does not pay a coupon, does not pay an interest rate. Instead, it knows it's getting a dollar back at the end of that five-year period of time in your example. But the cost of that bond might be 85 cents. And often it'll be less given today's environment. Let's just use 85 cents on the dollar. So I purchase it at 85 cents today. In 5 years, I know I'm getting my dollar back. That gives me 15 cents of money to use for something else. Mm-hmm. And that's when the banks use options around the S&P 500, in your example, to create this multiplier effect where you get leverage that we're going to talk about soon on the upside, along with protection on the downside. It creates both. And so one of the key parts about growth notes is it does not account for the dividend that the S&P 500 pays. For example, I think the S&P 500 dividend is right around 2% or so right now. You don't get that dividend each and every year. There's no payout until the end. And that's when the pop happens. And so in exchange for that, you get a multiplier. And when we look at some numbers, that multiplier can be incredibly attractive.
Now, it depends on what period of time we're talking about. The S&P 500, let's just say, averages over a long period of time, 10% a year. And it might pay an average of 2.5% in a dividend. So the multiplier we're talking about is on that 7.5%. It's not on the 2%.
Yep.
But if you have a good, if you have an attractive enough multiplier, your return is still much better than the S&P 500.
It makes up for it and then some. So let's look at how that might work.
Yeah. So let's go through an example. We're going to use the S&P 500. The bank that is issuing this is JP Morgan Chase. So huge bank here in the United States. Tied to the S&P 500, it will return 2.28 times That's right. Like, not like the same return.
More as than
the
double.
More than double that seven. Let's say the next 5 years, it goes out for 5 years. And let's say it averages historically what it's done over a long period of time. It averages 7.5%. Then you will get 2.28 times that 7.5%. It also has that protection element where if the S&P 500 isn't down more than 30%, then your principal is protected. So if it's down over that 5 year period of time between 0 and 30, but not 230, then you get your money back. If it's up, and let's look at now, we have an example for you, a slide that you can see where it's tied to the S&P 500. And you can see there's a table on the right, and there's four examples of that table. The first example is over the next 5 years, it goes up 50%. So
total return over that 5 year period.
Total return. So, you know, around 10% a year or something goes up 50%. You don't make 50. You see that second column says 50. You don't make 50, you make 114% because you're more than doubling.
I like that.
2.28 times. And so as you can see, you put $1,000 in. When it matures, you get $2,140. Very, very attractive. The markets are doing well. It's pretty attractive. The second example is if you just do 10%, not just, but you know, it goes up a little bit, you make 22.8 during that period of time. But here's the key is if it goes down some, but not more than the 30, it goes down 20, you don't lose anything. You get your money back. So it's not great, but
you don't make anything.
Things
you don't
are bad
anything.
For 5 years. You at least know you got some protection. And the last scenario, we do want to make sure that because this could happen, it has happened, not very often, but it has happened, is it goes down 40. Once it goes down more than that 30, you're live whole negative amount that the market's down. So you're down negative 40. So in that one, you lose 40%, you get $600. If that scenario happens, we're in a world of hurt with what's going on in the world, because, you know, for a 5 year period of time for that to be happening, you know, that's like, I don't even think that happened. That didn't happen like in the credit crisis. I think maybe the Great Depression is when that happened.
Yeah, so. Yeah. An incredibly low probability, not zero, but 1% chance or so. And even if you look at the most recent examples, COVID, you know, 2022 with our inflation problems, it still didn't breach the barrier because of all the upside throughout the given year. So that 5 year period of time is key. And so when we talk about this with clients, they ask us about risks associated with these growth notes. Right. So one of the opportunity costs is, yes, you're not getting any dividends as if you're buying the index directly. So you want to make sure that you don't need income for this specific set of money that you're gearing towards growth notes. There is market risk, right, because it's tied to an index or perhaps a couple indexes. So you want to make sure, again, that you're comfortable with that market risk. It's part of a diversified portfolio. There is also liquidity risk. Liquidity risk, we tell people, especially with these specific notes, you want to hold to maturity. That's when the pop happens. That's when that multiplier kicks in. And so purchasing these, we want to spread out the time frames. We want to make sure that, again, you're comfortable holding it that long. We can get out early, but you reap the benefits when you hold it.
Yeah. So it can do what it can be doing well. It could be not doing well. If you sell it early, then the principal protection element doesn't exist anymore. It only exists when you wait for it to mature. So sometimes people need money unexpectedly, and it's fine. And we have not run into this problem the nearly 10 years that banks can issue it very easy, but they do reserve the right to, it could take longer to get your money from them than a normal like ETF investment.
Yeah.
So that's where the illiquidity could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the final and most important part of risk is credit risk. You are a creditor to the bank that issued out that growth note. Mm-hmm. And so the terms you might love, the bank is the issuer you're susceptible to. If it goes bankrupt, you are a creditor. And so you're part of that debt collection. Right. And so what we do to minimize that risk is people that we purchase these for, we don't just buy it in one bank. We want to spread out the banks to make sure that you're well diversified within that mix of money that you have
yeah.
across the banks.
That's what we do. And if you're going to do these on your own, you want to make sure you do the same thing. You just like you don't buy just one stock or just buy one index. You should be buying a variety just to diversify your risk out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lastly, what we want to do is cover, we hear a lot of people saying things, misconceptions. And so let's role play. And I'm gonna role play, like, what do we hear? So James, you know, it just sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. It sounds too good to be true. And when they look at the numbers, they're saying, what's the catch? The catch are what the risks we talk about. You have to hold it. You have to be comfortable with that longer term time frame. You have to be comfortable with that credit risk to the bank. And you have to be okay with not needing any income. If those are in place, you're in a really, really good spot for these type of investments. You also don't want to put too much money in these regardless. It should complement the part of a bigger portfolio for you. That's when it comes into play really, really nicely.
Okay, fine. But they seem too complicated.
They are. They are. I'm not couching that at all. That's when you want to work with somebody who knows these things. We've been doing these things 10 years. And so we've seen a lot of different scenarios. You don't just want to wing this on your own. You want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing with them.
All right. If that's the case, but are they too risky?
Risk is in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, we don't believe they're risky relative to other investments when you even take into account everything we discussed. But again, you have to be well-educated. You have to trust the expert that's doing these for you. And without risk, there's no return too. So there's no such thing as free lunch here.
Well, everything has a risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name an investment to me, and I tell this to everybody. You got your money sitting in the bank. You leave it there for very long, you're running into some massive inflation risk. You got your money under the mattress. You get no interest. You know, you got risk with every investment. That's why these types of investments, that's why the markets, we've said investing in the markets, it's not nearly as risky as people say, because you're going to hold on to this money a long time. And so we just like this particular investment because it gives you a lot or more than even what the market does. And the risk you trade in for that to get that magnification is that credit risk, primarily a little bit of the liquidity risk, but you get that. And that credit risk from the banks, we don't believe is that high. I mean, it's there. And so we're not minimizing it, but the likelihood of a monster bank going under, we think is pretty low. So we don't think you should put all your money in it, but it's worthwhile in our opinion.
Yeah. So hopefully you found this helpful. Let's conclude with our favorite part of the segment. Ed's.
Is it really your favorite part of the segment?
It is definitely your favorite part. And I learn something every single time we talk about this. So I will, I'll eagerly listen.
What I'm going to share with you, I shared this with you earlier and you didn't know about it. So I'm glad to know that some of the audience may have not heard this before.
I learn something new every day, Ed.
All right. But I can't share it because I won't remember it unless I'm wearing this. So,
okay.
All right. So last segment, structured income notes, which we think are just as attractive as what we just talked about. I gave you a great recipe for hamburgers, right? It's the summertime. Hamburgers are great. When you make that hamburger, this is just a tip. It's not a recipe, but a tip. When you make that hamburger, you make the patty. I've done it two ways. You know, some people just make it with their hands. I actually have this patty maker thing where you can put the blobs of the beef in there and then you squish it down and it forms the patty perfect.
Doesn't surprise me. You have that, Ed.
Yeah. You pull the patty out. And what you do is you take your thumb and you go into the middle of the patty, just like this is the middle of the patty, and you put your thumb into the middle of the patty. And the reason is, and you don't go all the way down, you don't make a complete hole. And why is this, James? It's because you have struggled. Scott, who's filming us, has struggled. I've struggled. You make a regular patty, it becomes a little bit of a ball, kind of an oval sometimes, right? Because that's when it gets cooked, that's what happens to the meat. You put your thumb in the middle, it creates that bubble doesn't happen because then it gets filled up. That hole gets filled up and it comes out as a perfect patty.
Cooked evenly.
Not everybody does it, but the smart people do it. And now
you remember that when you're grilling summer.
Well, no, you remember it. I remember it all the time, but you better remember
okay.
it.
Okay. Thanks everyone for watching.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.